important issues that we should pay attention to in this text. And first, this text is more about marriage than it is about divorce because of the weight given to the commitment of the bond of marriage. It is a holy and foundational union of two persons who promise their lives to each other in faith and in love. And that covenant is not to be taken lightly and must be preserved. When the bond of marriage is violated and broken, there is suffering, there's the need for reconciliation and for restoration. There's a great loss that needs to be acknowledged and grieved. These words are taken by some religious communities and applied very literally to break up a dissolution of marriages. And I've worked with couples and families throughout my ministry who have struggled with these very words of Jesus that seem to be just a wall that's hard to get around. When I run into that kind of perception of things, it's my tendency to look at the wider expression of the biblical story and the gospel story, which talks about God's grace, God's forgiveness, and the possibility of something new happening in one's life, and for there to be restoration and new birth that happens, no matter what you have encountered on your journey that has been painful or broken. So that would be my word to many of us who have struggled with these words of Jesus when it comes to divorce. But secondly, the thing we need to pay attention to in this text is that Jesus' words place the man and the woman on equal level and give the woman the right to take the initiative. He says, if she divorces her husband, which is an addition to what the other religious leaders had said to him. Both parties, in the words of Jesus, have power in the relationship. And I believe the Gospel of Mark is once again proclaiming a different social order, a restoration of the mutuality of the marriage relationship, and I think that is good news. Jesus' words about marriage and divorce are difficult to hear. So how do we wrestle with these words and find a message of love and hope? The text ends there with Jesus' words about divorce, and then there's a vignette at the end of what we read today about the children who were present in the gathering being kept from Jesus, and Jesus becoming aware of that and being indignant about it and telling his disciples, you still don't get it. You know, let the children come to me, and he blessed them, and he use them as a model of what it means to come to a relationship with God with trust and faith and love and with openness. So in this text, we have two groups of people in the New Testament, women and children, who are often treated as property. And Jesus' actions and Jesus' words elevate those two classes of people, women and children in that society and in that culture. I find hope and good news in that elevation and in that mutuality that is displayed there. Patriarchy has been on full display recently in our culture. I think it is still alive and well in many places in the world. I'm probably the wrong person to be standing up here and talking about this because I know I participate in patriarchal ways of being as a man and as a person who's aware of my own history and ways that I have not valued others, particularly women in my life. And for that, I'm sorry. And I look to the good news of Jesus Christ to liberate me and forgive me and help me to walk in a new way when it comes to my relationship with others. I think the world needs relationships that practice mutuality and value of one another. I think the Psalm 8 talks about that elevation of humankind, human beings I don't like the masculine language that permeates that psalm. I wish it were more inclusive in that way. But often our texts and the things that we sing and read about have come out of a culture that is used to using the male language a lot. And it, I appreciate times when we can depart from that and use other kinds of language. The valuing of each other, the valuing of the most vulnerable and the marginal in our society, I think are measures of our sense of justice, our sense of the well-being of humankind, and the sense of the well-being of creation. We have work to do in that area. It is my hope that we as a Christian community who follow the way of Jesus can find the courage and the vision for a new social order where men and women and children value each other, walk together in mutuality and love, and want to see a world where that love and mutuality are practiced. Today, as I was speaking about marriage, I tried to use language that included, that was not exclusive to male and female. It's my conviction that in this day and age, we have learned new things about human sexuality that goes beyond some of the stereotypes that we hear about in ancient texts and in our everyday life. So I think human relationships of marriage can span an expression of sexual orientation. And I think the same things apply, that there needs to be mutuality, love, fidelity, faith, and trust, and both partners in a relationship need to value each other and to realize what their identity is in God's creation and caring for each other in the human community. I know I probably offended some folks today. I'm trying to be open with you and share what's on my heart. I've been troubled by the blatant display of patriarchy that have been in our public life recently. Really struggled with that. I think the way a society treats men and women and children and each other in the public way say something about who we are and point to deeper issues that we need to struggle with. And I hope that we can be a community that shows a better way. Amen.